Blow the horn. Let's go.
Everything that we do every day, we want to be a champion.
Get your mind right and let's go. Do the little things. Win every day.
It's the selfless that play football.
Everything with an attitude.
Alabama, you listen.
I don't give a shit who we're playing.
Young men can play against and make his ass quit. That's our framework. That's our MO as a team.
Richardson breaks free on the sideline. End zone.
This is a mauling, folks. A mauling.
Fear the tide, honey badger.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast, the 2012 preseason extravaganza. Tom, we're back talking defensive line. I know it's hard on defense. I want to set this up before we get into the defensive positions because we run almost an amoeba defense with the 3-4 and the 4-3 and walking up a linebacker or walking up a defensive back. So it's hard to sort of segregate and talk about each position. But let's try to do this in this next series of shows. And today we're going to spend time talking about the defensive line. What do you got?
You know, we first have to talk about the loss of Josh Chapman. I mean, Josh Chapman, to be fair, who was not expected to come in and make a splash because of the guy ahead of him that was the 5-star all-world from Hoover, Alabama.
Kerry Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, but Josh Chapman came in, and I was surprised when we were getting ready for this show that in his 26 career starts, he had 12 as a junior and 12 as a senior. So one of those guys like Alfred McCullough was Josh Chapman. He came in when we needed him the most. And was Mr. Dependability, even playing through injuries as a senior. And so I'm curious what's going to happen with Jesse Williams and the experiment, moving him to nose guard.
Yeah, I think, one thing I want to underscore with Josh Chapman is, the fact that he did play injured last year. And there was maybe some noticeable drop-off if you kind of go back with, 2020 vision. But he played very well last year. He clogged the middle. He's one of those guys that we've mentioned other guys, a Brandon Dietrich kind of player before that, didn't necessarily stand out on the stat sheet. But boy, you just miss them when they're not there.
Yes, and he's going to be one of those guys.
Josh Chapman could most certainly be one of those guys. Jesse Williams, now nothing against
nice
him.
To have him to plug in.
He is a huge fella, and he just put up that 600 plus bench press just recently. He is a mauler. I think that he's going to play aggressively in the middle.
And he's 6'4", by the way.
He's 6'4". He's taller. He's the same weight, but he's a little taller.
That'll be interesting.
I think he's going to take on the double teams. I don't know that we necessarily lose a whole lot in the middle. What we probably do lose is the depth, because if we go to Jesse Williams, looking solely at the nose guard position, our backup from Jesse is Brandon Ivory, who hasn't really come on yet. And so last year we had Josh and Jesse would kind of slide in and catch some reps in the middle. This year we've got Jesse, and Brandon really needs to step up. Now, from photos, and that's, and a lot of times that's some of us all we get is looking at some of the reports and photos coming out of camp. He looks less sloppy in his presence, and he looks like he's taken to some of the training. So I think that we'll see him. He'll certainly get some reps in that two deep at that position, but he's a little bit of a question mark there.
Well, and what's interesting about the defense and how we play things, I mean, our base is 3-3-5, and it has been since Saban has been there. So what Josh Chapman had to do as a junior and senior is he had to play first and second down. And so to your point about not being a drop-off, I think Jesse Williams, who was playing on the end and got better as the year progressed, is going to be more than capable of playing first and second down. He might actually have less snaps this year than he did last year because he was playing first, second, and third down sometimes on the outside defensive end position. And we've got so many young, talented, chase the quarterback type of guys, he might get some more breathing. He might get some more opportunities to be fresher as the game goes on, because on third down, we can slide one of these other pass rushers in over the center.
Well, and that's a good point. When we look at who's flanking Jesse, I think we have Damian Square, firmly entrenched on one side. I think Quentin Dial and Ed Stinson are kind of battling it out.
That's going to be Dial.
You think it's going to be Dial? Yeah. A lot of camp watchers think it's going to be Stinson. But if you take a guy like Dial, now he's bigger than Stinson. He's a guy that you think taking an outside guy on a pass rush situation and moving him down and kind of sitting Jesse, and so Quentin could get some snaps at that position, especially if he's looking for a way to see the field if Stinson beats him out. But you think it's going
to
be Dial?
Well, don't you think? I mean, not to compare him to a Brandon Dietrich, but What I'm really looking forward to from Quentin Dial is he's 6'6", 305 pounds. And now that he's been in the program for a year, really what I want him to do is I want him just to set the edge. I want him on rushing plays to control the edge and force everything back to those linebackers.
Yeah, I think if you look at a Quentin Dial and a Jesse Williams and a Damian Square, and if you look at them as a unit, they're really imposing. I mean, they're all three seniors. They're all three over 300 pounds or right at 300 pounds. I mean, that's an impressive wall. When you talk about, closing down the middle rushing lanes, forcing double teams, occupying blockers, which is really the crux of Saban's system, is that you use your defensive linemen to eat up space, to eat up offensive linemen.
That's all they do.
So your linebackers can run free. And we've talked about, man, when Saban gets the defensive ends that he wants, that we've been playing with, think about when he got here and he was playing with a Wallace Gilberry type defensive end.
Just a little bit undersized.
That's not his prototypical size. When we go back to his best defenses at LSU, they were 270, 280, near 300-pound defensive ends. Well, guess what? He's got them now.
Yes.
And it could be phenomenal to see how that defensive line plays. What do you think about the backups across the defensive front? When you look at a Pagan, we've mentioned Ivory, but you think about a Pagan, a Petway, some of the younger guys.
I'm not as high on Petway as some other people are. I just haven't seen enough from him. I've just seen some flashes. But Pagan, man, I was high on him last year. When he came in mop-up duty with his size and his frame and his motor, I think we're going to see some really big things from Jeffrey Pagan. It concerns me that the top three guys on the depth chart are seniors. But when you look at a Jeffrey Pagan and you talk about, Saban has his guys, well, guess what? Pagan is 6'4", 285. He doesn't have much body fat on him, and he is just relentless after the passer. He's our number four guy on that rotation.
And, you're probably right. I mean, he's a big guy. He's wearing his number eight, which makes you think he's smaller than he really is. But we have a lot of talent. And one of the things Kirby Smart said that in his, Coach Letts, the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinators, kind of at the beginning of camp, spent some time talking to the media. And one of the things that I took away from Kirby Smart's presentation was, everyone's worried about who's the number one at the position and who's in the number two position. And he was, he basically said, guys, we have a lot of number twos that are just as good as the number ones, and we're going to see a lot of rotation. And he goes, some of the number threes are as good as the number twos. And so when you look at a Dial who's battling it out with Stinson, and you look at a Jesse Williams and a Damian Square, and then you start looking at names that we haven't, mentioned yet, but a LaMichael Fanning and an Anthony Orr, and we've talked about, Pagan and Petway and Ivory. And then you look at guys like Chris Bonds, who's been a veteran in the system, just hasn't really had a chance. He's a junior this year, hasn't really had a chance to break out. Does he come back this year? Does the light flip on for him? He's looked good in some of the camps. We just have a lot of depth there. I think it's going to be like it's going to be like shift work, where guys are going to come in and punch the clock, put in their couple of plays, and then go take a breather. And the offensive line is gonna say, "Boy, I'm glad that guy's on the bench. Oh, well, wait a second, this guy's back."
Well, I mean, to your point, they're just gonna try to wear him out, right? Yes. And I mean, Saban talks about quick burst, and he talks about, what does he talk about? Every play is just when he breaks down the game and guys getting tired. He talks about, you just got to put that burst on for 60 seconds or whatever his comment when he breaks down the time of a particular play. Well, Brad Nessler, when he was covering the games last year and would, come into town on Thursday, I'll never forget. I was listening on a Saturday of game day to his interview right before the game started. And he was talking about how he had come into town again on a Thursday and he was going to practice. And everybody wanted to talk about the starters. And he said, well, you just wait, guys. You just wait, Alabama fans. There's twos and threes you've never heard of that I just got through watching on the field. You guys are going to be just fine.
You know, in some sense, it's going to be like layup drills because we're just going to be rotating guys in, and the next, you know, the next guy through is you know, is going to make plays. It's
our 10 are better than your 5.
Yeah, you know, I look at it as at some level, and this is just where you get into just the nitty gritty of Saban's, you know, system and his plan and just the things that keeps him up at night in an excited way, in a passionate way, not in a worried way. But this becomes psychological warfare against the offensive line because there's just so many guys, and the next guy's as athletic as the guy before, and you think this is the third guy I've had to block, and he's just as good as the starter. This is just at some point the offensive line, you start to beat them not only physically, but you start to beat them mentally, and when you beat them mentally, it's game over.
Well, to your point, you talked about the three starters. Just for kicks and grins, let's just talk about these other guys that you've got as backups. LaMichael Fanning, 6'7", 298. Anthony Orr, 6'4", 258. Jeffrey Pagan, 6'4", 285. Ed Stinson, 6'4", 285. You hear a common theme here, right? 285, 298. I mean, and these guys run like deers. I mean, he's getting the guys with the long wingspans that just have the builds that can set the edge and can push the pocket.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. Set the edge and push the pocket.
Yeah, and this is even before we get into some of the heralded freshmen that have come in. Now, Davlin Tomlinson has a knee injury, and so he probably redshirts this year. But Darren Lake has looked like a junior or senior when you look at him in pads. Corin Curvin was a top recruit that we pulled out of Virginia, and Dakota Ball just seems like a high motor kind of guy. I think that we don't see all of those guys this year. But I think we're going to see one or two of those guys. I put my money on Darren Lake coming in and catching some playing time this year.
Okay.
And that's even before, Tom, before we get to the depth, a guy like a Wilson Love who could come in and play. And there's always the white Asian you have to be cognizant of, which is the old William Ming, the junior.
That's just wrong.
All right, let's break it out. Let's be tactical again. Along the defensive line, who are the top two tacklers? It's a trick question with our offensive line. You don't know.
Top two tacklers but, on the defensive two? Line.
Yes. Putting it to you.
Okay, I'm going to have to say LaMichael Fanning and Jeffrey Pagan.
Okay. For tacklers across the offensive line, I went with Square. He's going to get a lot of reps. And I went with Quentin Dial. I think that he wins that other starting spot, and I think that he racks up a lot of tackles.
And when I say the top two tacklers, I take nothing away from Square and Dial.
Sure.
But I think they're just going to be clogging up and eating up space, and because these other guys are going to get a lot of reps too, punching their time clock, I think they're going to edge them out.
Fair enough. Who are the top two sack specialists? Again, defensive line.
Man, you're keeping all these notes, too, so you can try to hold this over my head later.
I am.
Top two sacks. Sack leaders are probably going to be number one, Damian Square. And I'm going to surprise you again here and say number two is going to be Jesse Williams.
Ah, that is a little bit of a surprise. All right.
Just what he did at the end position and putting him inside with his size and his strength. You know, I think he's going to make some plays in there.
All right. I'm giving my sack specialist across the defensive line to Quentin Dial and DJ Pettway. I think Dial's going to go get a lot of reps. I think he's going to have a lot of motivation this year. And I think DJ Pettway just comes in as sort of a sack specialist kind of guy, his speed off the edge. So
no Square.
No Square.
Man.
No Square. Not on the sacks. I have him on the tackles, but not on the,
okay,
the sacks. And I'm not mad at the guy. Damon Square has been a favorite, and I know that he's going to perform very well for us this year.
And we have no Nick Gentry. We hadn't even talked about this. He had 4.5 sacks last year.
We don't have a Nick Gentry, and he's another one of those guys.
Like Alfred McCullough.
That you just, you know, you don't know what you're missing, but that's the name of what you're missing. And McCullough is going to be that across the offensive line. Gentry could potentially be that on the defensive line. One of the things that he provided was some rush up the middle. I do think that Jesse Williams can provide a better rush up the middle than Gentry did, but you know, he's a guy that was an asset for us, and so we very well could miss him. Let's talk about our confidence interval across the defensive line. Again, scale of 1 to 10, where do you rate this position?
I'm going to put this one at an 8.5. I started to say 9 because I feel really good about this. I mean, just the horses and just coming at you by the fourth quarter, man, they're just going to be waving the white flag and saying uncle.
I'm giving it, and I think I'm giving it this the highest position of any position on the team. I'm giving this a 9.5.
Wow.
I think we've got experience. When you look at Jesse and Quentin and Square, we're all starters, contributed heavily last year. We've got talent across those three. We've got twos and threes that even the coaches are saying are near equal in talent. We've talked about shift work, and in depth kind of goes hand in hand with that. I think we're just bringing in wave after wave after wave of player. I think we're going to not only physically, but we're going to mentally beat some offensive lines. So I'm giving this a 9.5.
Okay.
All right. Well, that does it for this edition of the Alabama Football Podcast, the 2012 preseason extravaganza. Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout-out, a roll tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, T-shirts, free roster downloads, and, of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.